Bezras Hashem Yisparach, this is an auspicious moment. We begin our Meseches, second Meseches in Shas. We begin Meseches Shabbos, Dav Beis, Amud Aleph. Meseches Shabbos is a beautiful Mesechta, also with a lot of halachos that we will discuss. We now begin Dav Beis, the 64th Daf in Shas. The Mishnah tells us, Yitzias HaShabbos Shtayim Shehin Arba. A way to remember the Malacha of Hotzah on Shabbos, the last of the 39 Malachas, which are mentioned in the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Dalid, is to describe them as its categories as two which are four, Bifnim, inside, Ushtayim, Shein Arba Bechutz, two which are four, outside. What does inside and outside mean? The Mishnah will describe that the easiest way to learn the halachos of Hotzah is to think of a person inside that the Mishnah is going to call the Baal Bayis, and a person outside that the Mishnah is going to describe as an Ani, a poor person. A Baal Bayis who's giving something to Ani, or vice versa. If we're looking at it from the perspective of outside, if you have an Ani standing outside, if he does two possible actions, he will be Chayiv a Karban, which are four, if he does another two, then he will not be chayiv an avera. It will only be an iser derabanan. I mentioned that he'd be chayiv a karban. That would be if he did the iser b'shogeg. If, of course, he did it b'mezid, then he'd be chayiv misa with the appropriate hasra. Let's see it inside in our Mishnah. Ketzat ha'ani omed b'chutz u'balabayis b'fnim. There's an ani that's standing outside and a balabayis inside. Pashad ha'ani es yado l'fnim. If the ani stretches his hand inside, we are now about to be introduced to the most important rule in Hotzah. And that is to be chayiv on Hotzah. That means taking out an object from a Rishus HaYachid into Rishus HaRabim. Or hachnasa, taking in an object from the Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYachid. The individual has had to have done both an akira, that means to lift up the object from its stationed place. Let's talk about the Ani, lifting it up from the Rishus HaRabim, and then putting it down in the Rishus HaYachid. That's exactly what our Mishnah describes in case number one. Pashad Ani es yado lefnim, v'nasan l'soch yado shel bal habayis. The Ani stretched out his hand, and after having done an akira of picking up an object in the Rishus HaRabim, he put it into the hand of the bal habayis. He did a hanacha. Or the opposite. The Ani, our perspective now, is Shtayin Shein Arba Bachutz, which is the perspective of the Ani from Bachutz, the outside, or the opposite. Instead of doing Hachnasa, sending the object into the house, he does Hotzah by doing an Akira from an object in the Rishus HaYachid and putting it down in the Rishus HaRabim. Oshenatal Misocha, the Ani took it out from the hand of the Baal Habayis, Vahotzi, Ha'ani chayiv, the ani is going to be chayiv, u'bala bayis potter, because the ani did both akira and anacha. Now the Mishnah will continue with the opposite type of case, and that is the case of where we focus on bifnim, the actions of the bala bayis. Pasha bala bayis es yodo l'chutz. The bala bayis stretched his hand outside. V'nasan l'soch yodo shel ani, and he put in the hand of the ani. He had done the akira bifnim, and he did the nasina b'chutz, the hanacha b'chutz, by putting the hand on the ani. So the Baal Habayis then has done Hotzah. O shenatal mitoicha, or he took from the hand of the ani, that's the akira outside, v'hichnis, and he brought it inside, and he did the hanach inside, Baal Habayis chayiv v'ani potter. The Baal Habayis is chayiv, the ani is potter. We have done so far shtayim bifnim and shtayim b'chutz. In both of those cases, in the first instance, the ani is chayiv for both, and the second, the Baal Habayis is chayiv for both. Now we're going to have cases where there isn't a full action by either of them, and when the focus is the Ani, that'll be called Shehin Arba of the Ani. When the focus is the Baal Habayis, it'll be Shehin Arba of the Baal Habayis. Pashat the Ani is yad lefnim. The Ani stretched his hand inside. V'natal Baal Habayis mitocha. The Ani on the one hand did the Akira, on the other hand the Baal Habayis, because he took it from the hand of the Ani, he did the Hanacha. O she nasan l'socha v'hotziya, or Baal Bayis put the object in the hand of the Ani, and the Ani took his hand out and did the Hanacha, Shnehem Pturin. In such a case, they're both Potter. That's the Shehein Arba Bachutz, where the Ani is Potter. Now we're going to have the Arba Bifnim. Pasha Baal Bayis Yod Lechutz. The Baal Bayis stretched his hand outside. V'notal Ha'ani Misocha. And the Ani took it from the hand of the Baal Bayis. Oh, Shenosan Lesocha V'hichnis. Or the Ani put it in the hand of the outstretched hand of the Baal HaBayis, and the Baal HaBayis brought it inside, Shnehem Pturin. In that case, the Akira was done by one of them, and the Hanacha done by somebody else. Rashi explains that it's Aser Midrabanan, nevertheless, there's a rule, in Masechta Shabbos, Potter means Potter Aval Aser, it's still Aser. Rashi says the reason why it's still Aser is because if we're going to allow someone to do an Akira, they might, even if they're not doing the Hanacha, they might come to do Akira and a Hanacha. Tosas in Dibra Maschul, Pasha Baal HaBayis feels the need to explain and gives us an important rule in the context of his explanation. Tosas is bothered, why does the Mishnah need to spell out both the Ani and the Baal HaBayis? Just give us the basic rule of Akira and Hanacha by talking about one of them. Tosas quotes the Ri that says that Hotsa is a Malacha Geruah. According to the position of Tosas, see the Rajva who disagrees, the Hotsa is not a Malacha whose constructive action is so obvious. Because at the end of the day, says Tosas, what's the difference between whether you take out from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, which is an Isser D'Oraisa, as opposed to taking something from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid, from one Rishus to another, which is not an Isser, Minatora. Hence, because the rules are very vague, we need to spell out all of the halachos. Because it's a malacha grua, we need to spell out both from the perspective of the Ani and the Baal HaBayis. The Gemara continues on the last line on Beis Amin Alf. Tanan Hasam. We've had this concept of Shtayim Shein Arba in other places in Shas. Our Gemara begins by analyzing the expression Shtayim Shein Arba and pointing out other places in Shas Mishnayis where we have the expression Shtayim Shein Arba. Tanan Hasam. We learn in Masechta Shuos. Shvuas, Shtayim Shein Arba. There are two which are four types of Shvuas. Rashi explains that the Torah says, Lohora Olahetev, that means that someone swears that in the future he will eat or he will not eat. Those are two prototypical Shvuas Bitui in the Torah. Shein Arba, that there are two more, that refers to a person swearing whether he ate or didn't eat in the past. Yediyas HaTumma. When it comes to Halachas HaTumma, we also have the concept of Shtayim Shehein Arba. Rashi explains that the Torah Kedosha describes someone coming in contact with Tumma, Vayikrahe O Nefesh Kisiga. And there, the classic case is two cases. And that is someone who is Metame himself. If he is metame without realizing it, v'ne'elam mimenu, the halacha is that he brings a karbon asham. What exactly did he forget? So the shtayim case of bringing a karbon ola v'yored, which is another way of describing this particular karbon, the prototypical example of the Torah is v'ne'elam mimenu v'hu tamei. Rashi points out it's mashma that he forgot that he was tummy. He realized he was eating Kodesh. He once knew that he was tummy. He forgot, and then he realized after. That's the shtayim. Shein arba, yediyas hatuma or arba, is if he remembered he was tummy, but he did not realize that he was eating Kodesh or going into the Beis Hamikdash. So if he forgot that he was tummy, ate Kodesh, or went to the Beis Hamikdash, shtayim, shein arba means that he knew he was tummy, but forgot that he was eating Kodesh, or forgot that he was going into the Beis HaMikdash. Maris Nigoyim, we have another example of Shtayim Shein Arba, and those are colors of a nega. Rashi again explains that the Torah refers to two different types of Nigoyim, Se'es U'Baheres. Each one of them has a Tolada, and that is a similar type of color. The Mishnah Nigoyim, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, describes Baheres is Azok Yishelag, as thick as snow, a white thick snow. Shniyala, one that's a tolada to it, is kisid ha'echa, like lime. While se'ez is like a woolen, a white wool, and it's what's secondary to it is the thin shell on top of the egg. Finally, we have Tzias HaShabbos, Shtayim Shein Arba. We have our case, our Mishnah. Now, our Mishnah is different, points out the Gemara. Ma'ishna hocha detani shtayim shein arba lifnim, u'shtayim shein arba b'chutz. Our Mishnah is not satisfied with simply giving shtayim shein arba, but we have shtayim shein arba of the ani, shtayim shein arba of the balabai. U'ma'ishna hosam, why is it though over there? Detani shtayim shein arba v'sulo. Over there, when the Mishnah in Shavuos lists it, it just lists shtayim shein arba and doesn't mention mi b'fnim or mi b'chutz. Answers the Gemara five lines on the top. Hachadik or Shabbos who tani avos atan laos. This is Masechah Shabbos, so then we spell out all the details. Now, why we have to spell out so many details that we mentioned Tosas's explanation? The Gemara doesn't spell out why we need to spell out every detail in Hilchos Shabbos. But clearly, that reason why we don't spell out everything in Shavuos is because that's not the Iker place. So here, we do the Avos and the Talados. There are 39 Avos Malachos that appeared in the Mishkan. Mirtzei Hashem, throughout the Masechta, we will discuss the relationship between the role of Talados and Avos. Literally, a Talada means something that was born from the Av. In other words, simply put, an oversimplification, it's a derivative of the Av. So here we learn all parts of Melech HaShavos, both the Avos and Talados. Hasan Delav Iker Shavos, who Avos Tani, Talados Lo Tani. It only mentions the Av, which is Hotzah. It doesn't mention the Tolada, which is Hachnasa. The Gemara explains that our Mishnah is unique because our Mishnah is a source of Hilchos Shabbos, and therefore you have both Avos and Talados. The Gemara challenges this approach. Avos Mainiu. So let's talk about Avos. What are Avos? Yitzios. That means taking out from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRam. V'yitzias Trei Havin. And ultimately, there's two cases of Yitzias. Rashi explains one case where the Ani does Hotzah, and one case where the Balabayis does Hotzah. So why is it that it came out that we had Shtayin Shein Arba and Shtayin Shein Arba? How is it that we got to four cases of Hotzah? We should have only one case of the Yoni and one case of the Bala Bayis. Because at the end of the day, if we're only talking about Hotzah, then that is two. V'chitem, and if you're going to want to answer, says the Gemara, mehen l'chiyuv v'mehen l'ftur, that we don't want to only delineate when it comes to the Ani and the Bala Bayis instances of chiyuv of Hotzah, but we want to indicate cases, as Rashi explains, where you have an Akira that was being done by the Bala Bayis, but the Ani did the Hachnasa, and that's going to be Potter. And that's why we need to delineate more than two cases. We need to delineate Shtayim Shehein Arba. You can't say that, asks the Gemara. Vodumya Demaris Negoyim Ketani. But the Mishnah in Shavuos had equated the Shtayim Shehein Arba of Hotzah to the Shtayim Shehein Arba of Negoyim. And over there were only cases of Chiyuv. Why all of a sudden over here are we going to change that? Ma asam kula chiyuva, af hocha nami kula chiyuva. Just like there is a case of chiyuv, so too here should be an instance of only chiyuv. Why all of a sudden here do we introduce pturim? The Gemara answers, El amar of papa hocha de ikar Shabbos hu tane chiyuvi pturi. Here, since it's the primary place of Hilchos Shabbos, we delineate all examples, and therefore it's different than in Shavuos, where we only mention the cases of Chiyuvim. Hasam, the Lavikar Shabbosu, Chiyuvatani, Upturi, Lo Tani. In Shavuos, it's not mentioned because that's not the primary case, and we only mention the Shtayim Shein Arba of Chiyuvim. Ramban adds that Rav Papa is changing what the Gemara had suggested above because he understands that the Shtayim Shein Arba, is learning differently than the Gemara above that had suggested that our Mishnah was mentioning Avos and Toldos, and Hachnasa is a Tolada. Rather, according to Rav Papa, both Hotzah and Hachnasa are Avos. Therefore, the Shtayim Shebifnim are the Hotzah and the Hachnasa of the Balabayis that are Chayiv when he did both the Akira and the Hanacha. One could add also, according to the Ramban, we can now understand what Rav Papa changed to what was above in the Gemara. I was bothered that at the end of the day, how is Rav Papa different than the V'chi Tema? V'chi Tema mehen l'chiyuv mehen l'ftur. Why does the Gemara say Elam Rav Papa? According to the Ramban, Rav Papa is disagreeing with everything that was said above because he's rereading the Mishnah that both Avos and Avotza and the Avos of Hachnasa are included in the Shtayim, unlike the Shita mentioned above, that the Av is only Hotza and not Hachnasa. Either way, the Gemara continues to analyze. The Gemara now clarifies, Chiyuvei Ma'ininhu, what are the cases of Chiyuv when it comes to Hotza? Yitzios, our Mishnah said Yitzios, asks the Gemara, Yitzios Tarti Havin. Yitzios are only two. We only have two cases of Hotza. When the Balabayis does an Akira and Anach outside, and when the Ani takes something from inside, does the Akira by lifting up from inside and puts it down outside. Says the Gemara, Shtayim da Otsa u Shtayim da Achnasa. No, there's two cases of Otsa and two cases of Achnasa. The Gemara takes the word Yitzio literally, Va Yitzios Ktani. But doesn't the Mishnah use the expression Hotza'a, not Hachnasa? Amar Vashi Tana Hachnasa Nami Hotza'a Karile. The Tana, when he describes Hachnasa, also uses the expression of Hotza'a. Mimai, what is the source that says that Hachnasa also falls into the category of Hotza'a? Midisnan, that we learned in the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Gimel, Hamotzi Mirushus L'Rishus Chayiv. That the Mishnah tells us the last of the 39 Malachos on Ayin Gimel is someone who takes Mirushus L'Rishus. Notice, the expression is Hamotzi takes out from one Rishus to the next. It's not Hamotzi Mirushus Hayach L'Rishus Ram, but Mirushus L'Rishus. Milo Askinah the Kama'ayil Mirushus Haram L'Rishus Hayachid. The Mishnah seems to be including not only taking from Rishus Hayachid to Rishus Haram, but as well Rishus Haram to Rishus Hayachid. V'kakari le'hotza, and it's still called Otza. V'taimamai, and why does it fall into the category of Otza if it's actually taking in, not taking out? Kol akiras chevetz mimikomo tana hotza karle. Anytime an object is being removed from its spot, it's being taken out. One could be masbir that it's being taken out from its place. Amar avina masnisa nami diktani yitzias v'kama farash achnasa. It's clear from our Mishnah, Rav Ina iterated this point, because the best way to read our Mishnah is that the Mishnah talks about Shtayim Shein Arba, and Shtayim Shein Arba, that it includes the Isra of Achnasa as well. Rava Amar Rishuyos Ketani, Rishuyos Shabbos Shtayim. Rava gives a different approach. He says, we don't understand the word Hotza in regards to Hotzas HaChefetz Mimikomo, but rather, Hotza refers to different Rishuyos. Yitzias HaShabbos, Shtayim Shein Arba, there are two and four, not Hotza V'Achnasas, two and four Rishuyos. Rishuyos Shtabos, Shtayim. When it comes to Rishuyos of Shtabos, we have two. We have Rishus HaYachid and a Rishus HaRabim. And there, the halacha applies for someone who's standing inside, that he could be Chayiv for Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim. And he could be potter another two times if he didn't do both Otsa, the Akira and the Hanacha, as well as another four sets of the Halachos of Rishuyos, referring to the inside and the outside, the Rishus Hayachid and Rishus Harabim, from the perspective of the other individual, the Ani or the Balabais. That's why Hachnasos are also mentioned. Not because Hachnasa falls into the category of Otsa, but according to Rava, it seems to fall into a different category, but rather the Shtayim Shein Arba are the perspective of Rishuyos. In our Mishnah, we had learned that there are cases of Chiyuv, there are cases of Ptur, and our Mishnah had delineated altogether eight instances. Four where the Baal Bayis and the Ani were doing the Akira and Hanacha entirely by themselves, and therefore the Ani would be chayiv twice, and the Balabais would be chayiv twice, and four instances where one of them did the Akira, and the other did the Hanacha. The Gemara now continues, three lines from the bottom, and the Gemara challenges the number that the Mishnah had mentioned. Tangentially, I've always been bothered why there's two dots over here. It seems to me that the two dots, the place is strange. I would suggest that the two dots really should be two lines from the top on Gimel of an Aleph. Either way, we have an analysis of Rav Masna about the number of instances of Potur Avol Aser that applies both to a Baal HaBayis and to a Nani. In our Mishnah, we had altogether Potur Avol Aser applying to an Ani twice and applying to a Baal HaBayis twice. And altogether, we had 8 permutations of our Mishnah. How do we get to 8? Well, we have 2 instances where a Baal HaBayis is chayef for doing both Akira Anacha, 2 instances where the Ani is chayef for doing both Akira Anacha. That's 4. The other 4 is 1 instance of the Ani doing Anacha without an Akira, and 1 instance of the Ani doing Akira without a Anacha, as well as the Baal HaBayis doing Anacha without Akira, and the Baal HaBayis doing Akira without Anacha. That's 4. Plus 4. Asks Rav Masna, Amalei Rav Masna Abaye, Hatamne Havin, are there 8 instances? Tartisri Havin, there are really 12. There should be another 4 instances. Rashi explains that there are actually 2 instances of the Ani doing a Hanacha without Akira. And that is that the Baal HaBayis put it in his hand when the Ani stretched his hand inside. And then the Ani did a Hanacha b'chutz. Or the Baal HaBayis placed it into the hand of the Ani outside, and the Ani put it down. Or the Ani took it from the hand of the Baal HaBayis. In such a case, there you've got 2. If that's so then we're already up from 4 cases of an Ani to another 5. In other words, we have 1 more case that wasn't taken into account, and the same would apply to Akira as well. We only took into account 1 Akira, but there are really 2 instances of where the Ani did the Akira and didn't do the Hanacha. One instance is where he picked it up in the Rishus HaRab and the Baal HaBayis took it from his hand, and the other is where he took it from the Rishus HaRabim, and he stretched his hand inside, but the Baal HaBayis took it from his hand, and he didn't place it into the hand of the Baal HaBayis. Asks the Gemara, Hatamna Havin, Tartisrin Havin. There are more permutations. Asks the Gemara, V'litamech Shitzer Havin. But really, you could add another 4, because we haven't even calculated the times that the Ani and the Baal HaBayis did neither the Akira nor the Anacha. Then we only took into account the Baal HaBayis, so there are really 16. Answers the Gemara, Halo Kasha. The last case, the Litamech 16, Bishlema Bava Deresha Potter Umutter Loktani Elab. When it comes to the case of Potter Umutter, the Shtayim, where the Baal HaBayis, let's say, did the Akira and the Hanacha, then we don't take into account the Ani there at all. Elab Bava the Sefer, the Potter Aval Aser Kasha, but you're right. The cases of Shehain, where we calculated another 4 instances of Potter Aval Aser, there are really 4 more than those, and that equals sach hakol 12 instances, and it really should not have been a total of 8 permutations in our Mishnah, but actually 12 permutations in our Mishnah. Kasha, that is an excellent question. This Bezer Hashem concludes our first daf in Masechet Shabbos. The details of the permutations are a little bit difficult. Bezer Hashem, we now go on to the halacha section of Daf Beis. Bezrus Hashem, our halacha topic today are 2 disparate halacha topics that emerge from an analysis and an introduction to the Isser of Hotza'ah. Hotza'ah is the last of the 39 malachos in the Mishkan. Nevertheless, it is the first topic in Masechet Shabbos. Tosus at the end of Dibur HaMaschil Yitzios explains, because Hotzah is what is referred to by Chazal as a malacha geruwa. It is a weak malacha. Tosus suggests there that because the halachos are so nuanced, it was dear to Chazal. We don't run away from complicated sugyas, even in the Daf Yomi, and we do our best to try to tackle them. And it was chaviv to the Tana. It was dear to the Tana, the topic of Hotzah, even though it's a hard malacha to tackle. What exactly, and this is our introduction to the malacha of Hotzah, what exactly do the words Hotzah malacha gruahi, as Tosa says 4 lines in on Beis Amud Aleph and repeats again in Dibra Maskel Pashat Balabayis. What exactly does that mean? And what are the two halacha lemaisa implications, possible implications of that discussion? Tosas, Dibra Maskel Pashat Balabayis elaborates more. He quotes the Ri two lines into the Tosas, where he says that Hotza is a malacha grua, it is a weak malacha, it's hard to understand, if you will, because mali hotzi merushus hayochid lerushus harabim, mali motzi merushus hayochid lerushus hayochid. If one moves an object from a private domain to another private domain, from one private house and another private to another private house, and there isn't a house in between, then min haTorah, mid rabbanan, we have to learn Maseches Erevin for this, but min haTorah, the halacha is that one has not at all violated any isser of motzi merushus lerushus, as described in the Mishnah on Ayin Gimel. However, if one has moved an object from a rishus hayachid to rishus haram, rishus haram to rishus hayachid, then one is chayiv. So the details are very fine and are unclear. The Torah taught us the Isser of Hotza, because as Chazal will bring out later on, the 39 melachos, one of which the Gemara on Daf Tzadi Vav says, was moving the items from a Rishus HaYachid in the Mishkan to a Rishus HaRabim, that's the Yisr D'oraisa. However, even if the object's domain has been changed, since the Torah through the Mishkan never taught us the case of Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid, then one is Nachayiv, and that, Tosa says, makes Hotza a Malacha Gerua. Its boundaries, its definition, is unclear. Ramban, Rajba, and I saw a quote in the Masifta, they also mention the Orza Ruah, flag on the play in the Masifta, that in their Panini Halacha, they did not mention that. It's also the Shita, the Ramban, and the Rajba, the more basic Rishonim, hold that the reason why Hotza is a Malacha Megrua, in the language of the Ramban, Shar Malachos She'ena Masuris El Mitzad Atzmon, the other Malachos are usher because of a change that you've made in them. However, here, it's dependent on the Rishus. Other melachos are not dependent on the Rishus. Most understand, this is how the Sefer Primosha understands, that what the Ramban and the Rajba are saying, and here the Masifta is right in the Arzarua, it's explicit, anytime there's no change in the object itself, then it's a hard melacha to qualify. All the other 38 melachos are a melacha because you made a change in the object. You cooked a food, you wrote something. However, when it comes to the Malach of Otza, there was no change in the object itself. These are two different pshatim in the Rishonim. Why are we discussing this in the Halacha section? So I would like to point out that there are implications of our Hezber for Halacha Lamaisa. Firstly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made it that Dav Beis in Maseches Shabbos falls out on Chol HaMoed Sukkos in Tavshin Ayin Gimel. Let us give an application Halacha Lamaisa on Sukkos. There are two different customs, and for many this might sound as a surprise, about whether there is an Isser of carrying on Chol HaMoed. Of course, if the carrying would be Litzarech Yom Tov, so then in such a case it would be permissible. You're allowed to do it on Yom Tov itself. But what happens if you're carrying things that are not necessarily necessary for Yom Tov? Do you need to check your pockets just like you need to check on Yom Tov and Shabbos if it's Hotza Shelo Letzorech? This would sound very strange to people. However, the Chazon Ish is quoted in many places. There's a arichus about this by in Rav Sternbuch Sefer Moadim Uzmanim Simin Reish Ches Tzadi in Chelek He, actually held that Hotza was Asar on Chol HaMoed as well. Why is Hotza Mutter according to the majority of Poskim? Why do we not have to check our pockets when we go out on Chol HaMoed? At the end of the day, the Gemara tells us that what's permissible on Chol HaMoed are things that are either a Dover HaAved or Tzorech HaMoed. Take a look at the Mechaber in Simin Tov Kuf Lamed. If you take a look on YU Torah, we have a whole shir by itself on the halachos, an introduction to the halachos of Chol HaMoed. The answer, writes Rav Sternbuch, he thinks, is the following. Rashi in Moed Katan writes that the prohibitions of Malacha and Chol HaMoed are Mishum tircha. It seems to be even the lashon of the Gemara on beis and beis. It's not that all malachos are aser, that we transfer over all malachos of Shabbos. However, the Torah doesn't want us, or the Rabbanan, that's the machlokas we show, whether malachon chal moiz is or the Rabbanan or the Raisa. The Torah or the Rabbanan don't want us to do malacha in general to distract us from the holiness and the uniqueness of the day, even the day of Chol HaMoed. According to Rashi, the Isser is an Isser of Tircha. Rav Sternbuch then argues the following. When it comes to Shabbos, Hotzah, we already learned, is a Malacha Geruwa. It clearly is not an issue of Tircha. What does it seem is Rav Sternbuch's definition of a Malacha Geruwa? You don't have to make a change in the object to accomplish the Malacha. Everything stays as the status quo. There is no tircha involved, like when it comes to cooking and writing and sewing. Hence, it will qualify as mutter on Chol HaMoed. It should be noted that the Chazon Ish disagreed, as we mentioned before, as well as in the Sefer Amudei Or, where he argues that all malachos of Shabbos are prohibited on Chol HaMoed, except for those that have a tzorech, or it's a dover ha'aveh. The scope, of course, right now is beyond Daf Beis in Masechet Shabbos. Take a look at Svarim that discuss Hilchas Chol HaMoed and Shiurim that introduce the basic concept. Here already, I believe, is implication number one. Rav Sternbuch's justification for the Heter fits in beautifully according to Ramban and Rajba's definition. According to Tosos, the Malacha Geruwa component of Hotzah is entirely irrelevant to whether there is Tircha or not. One could justify and say that it's going to be mutter because the only Isser on Chol HaMoed is a malacha of tircha, but to use the notion of hotzah, malacha grua, would not be correct. Hence, Rav Sternbuch is assuming, by definition, the idea of the Ramban and the Rajba as opposed to the idea of Tosos. In other words, Rav Sternbuch cannot point to the expression of malacha grua to prove that carrying doesn't qualify as a tircha. What would happen if an individual carried something heavy from one place to the next? If you say that Shabbos Hotzah is unique because there's no change in the object, maybe that would qualify as far as not being tircha. However, you cannot use the concept of Malacha Grua according to Tosos if it means that it's vague in what Rishus we're referring to. Bottom line is, most poskim do not follow the position of the Amudei Or, and most say that the Isser applies of Malacha, specifically that has some type of Tircha involved, and however you explain it, whether you use the concept of Hotzah Malacha Grua or not, many argue that since Hotzah does not have Tircha, therefore it's going to be Mutter on Chol HaMoed. It's interesting to note that the Be'er Halacha and Simen Tav Kuf Lamed Vav is mashma that hotzahs include amongst other malachos. However, the Shevet Alevi in Shalos Hatshuvos Chelek Vav Simen Samaches points out that the Rambam never mentions the Isser of Hotzah when it comes to malachos asuros b'Chol HaMoed. And the list of malachos that are asur according to the Rambam, midrabanan, the Rambam holds that the Isser is midrabanan, nowhere there does he mention Hotzah. Just one ha'ara on Rav Wozner's Raya. Any poskim today are choshesh for the position that malacha on Chol HaMoed is an isur d'oraisa. Maybe one cannot bring a raya from the Rambam if one is choshesh for that position, because the Rambam is only delineating those isurim that are isurei d'rabana. Again, it's something serious to take in keep in mind that the Chazon Ish was machmir. Another implication of the uniqueness of Hotzah and its discussion in a totally different area of halacha is the issue in regards to what exactly do we learn out from the Mishkan when it comes to defining the parameters of the Isser of Hotzah on Shabbos. The most important discussion probably in all of Hilchos Erevin is what is the qualification of a Rishus HaRabim d'Oraisa. We will of course revisit this many times. In Simen Shin Mem Hei Siv Zayin, the Mechaber quotes two opinions. The position of Rashi, Tosos, the Rush, are all that you need 600,000 to be chayiv Otsa into Rishus HaRabim, because it's not called a Rishus HaRabim unless it resembles the Rishus HaRabim in the time of the Mishkan. However, the first day in the Shulchan Aruch following the Rambam, Ramban, and Rajba is that one will be chayiv if the size of the Rishus HaRabim is 16 amos wide and it does not need 600,000 people passing by. I throw out to my Talmidim on the web the following possible suggestion of what's behind this machlokas. The positions that hold that you need 600,000 say that we have to learn not only from the Mishkan the domains of what the Rishus HaRabim were, but also every single detail, including how many people were in the Rishus HaRabim. This is the position of Rashi and Tosfos. Let's talk about Tosfos particularly. Tosfos had said that Hotzah doesn't make any sense. We just learn out all of its parameters from the Mishkan. That's what means Hotzah Melacha Grua. If that's so, according to Tosfos, then presumably one needs to learn out everything, including how many people there were. Ramban and Rajba don't. Maybe one could suggest that this is because the Ramban and the Rajba were of the opinion that Hotzah Melacha Grua has nothing to do with the way we structure the domain of the Yisrael Hotzah V'Achnasa, but rather it's simply because the object is not changed. But that we have to learn all of the details out from the Mishkan, that is not what's learned out, and that is not what is expressed by Chazal in Hotzah Melacha Grua. Hence, I would like to suggest a second implication in this machlokas between the Ramban and the Rajba, and Tosfos on the other hand, whether one needs to learn out all details of the Mishkan, which becomes the crux of the machlokas, whether today, in order for something to be considered Rishus HaRabim, you need 600,000 people. According to the Ramban and Rajba, that has nothing to do with Hotzah being a vague malacha, and it doesn't govern our characterization of Hotzah learning everything out from the Mishkan. Why is it a malacha grua? Because there isn't a change in the object. However, according to Tosfos, who says that malacha grua is that the domains are unclear, so then one needs to learn to the Mishkan and say, well, Rishus HaRayachid, Rishus HaYachid is not Chayiv in Mishkan. Rishus HaRayim, Rishus HaYachid is Chayiv. If that is what makes it unclear, then maybe one would also need to learn the parameters of Shishim Ribu as well. The purpose of this introduction was twofold. Number one, to introduce to the Dear Talmidim these two different Halacha L'maisa discussions, and as well, in other words, about Chol HaMoed and the concept of Shishim Ribu and Rishus HaRabim, and as well to familiarize ourselves with the basic shitos of what is the meaning behind Hotzah Melacha Grua, and also to introduce that this is the reason why we spend so much time in Maseches Shabbos discussing all the nuances of Hotzah, because what was difficult to the Tana is something that was dear to him. There's a lot to learn from Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Beis Hashem, this concludes Daf Beis in Maseches Shabbos. We will leave Halacha L'maisa discussions within carrying itself till we do some more of the sugyas within Maseches Shabbos and are better prepared to deal with the many shailas that come up in regards to carrying and Erevin. Beis Hashem, this concludes Daf Beis Halacha section.